discussion today is Wednesday, March 1st. It seems like it should be a holiday or something, you know, and we don't get a groundhog this month, but it's sure having its moments. I drove back through the snow from Cave Junction on Monday night, and it's hard to believe that it's almost spring this month. So this morning, the first item on our agenda is a recognition of an employee who's not present this morning. However, we are going to recognize Jennifer Geiger for 20 years of service at the Sheriff's Office. During that time, she has had several roles within the Records Department as a supervisor and also their Civil Department. She's handled many administrative things behind the scenes. And 20 years is a big accomplishment, especially in a department that has lost so many employees. So we definitely want to... Oh, I forgot the Pledge of Allegiance. I am so sorry. Anyhow, we'll recognize Jennifer, and then now we'll do the thing that's most important that I forgot about. So, okay. It's not on my agenda, so I apologize. I was just reading the agenda to go from there. And
thank you.
Mr. Seligman, thank you. All right, so if you could rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, I apologize. I should know better than that. So it is my first weekly business session. I think that I'm a little nervous. So.
You're just fine.
Anyhow, so yes, recognition of Jennifer Geiger, and then we also have two proclamations this morning. The first one, I'm going to wait for these gentlemen to walk in the door because they're the ones to receive it.
High school teachers, you know.
Not just high school teachers that aren't right in town, so you had
yes.
to drive. So
yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are just about to read the proclamation, then we'll call you up
to
receive it. So.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
So this morning, our first proclamation is proclaiming the week of February 5th through 11th as Future Business Leaders of America and Pi Beta Lambda Week. Whereas Future Business Leaders of America, Pi Beta Lambda, is a nonprofit educational organization whose first chapter was established in Johnson City, Tennessee in 1942. Whereas this organization has grown now to encompass over 250,000 members and advisors nationwide in middle schools, high schools, colleges, universities, career and technical schools, and private business schools. And whereas FBLA is a professional business, I should do the full thing, sorry, FBLA PBL is a professional business organization dedicated to bringing business and education together in a positive working relationship through innovative leadership and career development programs. And whereas members perform community service activities and strive to build a student's understanding of the realities of the modern business world. And whereas FBLA teaches high school students basic business and leadership principles, and PBL helps university, college, technical, and business school students to make the transition from school to work. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Josephine County Board of Commissioners does hereby proclaim the second week in February 2017 is National Future Business Leaders of America, Pi Beta Lambda, FBLA PBL Week in Josephine County. And you wonder why I wanted to skip some.
Yeah, you're good.
So we have Chris Pendleton from Hidden Valley High School and Patrick Irvin here to receive this proclamation.
Thank you. Can we approach you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much for this. We appreciate this. This was done
thanks
by my students, so we appreciate
yeah.
this.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Do you know, want to say anything?
Yes. Give me just a minute. Teachers can talk forever, but we'll be really quick. So, first of all, we want to thank you for your time as commissioners. And second, we want to say thank you for letting us have this week. Our students at Hidden Valley High School are, we always, as teachers, think they're the best in the world. But we are 15-time state champions in business, and the goal and purpose of our group is to train kids and develop kids to push themselves to a new level. And so we want the county to know, we want our city to know that these students are achieving greatness. And again, you know, we want to be in the newspapers, but we also want the students to understand what the government's role is. And so that's why we asked you to do this for us. And we encourage you guys to come down and visit us down in the classroom and tell the students everything about you guys, because one day they hope to be like you. And so again, that would be helpful. But this just lets our kids know that our county knows about us and that the things that they're achieving down there. And we just want to say thank you for that.
And I appreciate that the work that you've been doing is out at the high school with Josephine County Foundation as well. I've had the privilege of working with a couple of your students as part of the Forward Institute Leadership Program, and they're awesome. And it doesn't matter that they're still in high school, they're still contributing. They're equally a part of the team, and I've been encouraged by the work that you've been doing as well. And if you do want one of us commissioners out in the classroom, you call the office, invite us, we will make sure to be there.
We will do that, definitely. And again, this is we have two different worlds there, the FBLA world and the foundation world. It's all intermixed, but the FBLA world is our competition side, where our foundation world is our service side.
Yeah.
And so again, that's what we're striving for our kids, to compete well and also serve well. And so that's what it means for us. And well, we'd be glad to have you.
I'm going to take you up on that invitation, because I was in business for 37 years. And one of the things that hit home with me is all the mistakes I made until I finally found somebody that could turn that light on.
Right.
And as soon as I found that one person, and it might be you, you may be affecting those kids in a way far greater than what you even realize. But I can tell, the guy's name is Richard Nicase. I'll never forget his name, and I'll never forget every word he ever said. But he's the guy that made me understand the financial side of business. And then I was successful from then on. I wish I would have had that. I've been exposed to that before I started in business. I probably would have kept, I don't know, the house on M Street probably would still be mine. I had to sell in order to liquidate assets in order to cover that liability. But I would love to come and speak. So if we can set up something, that would be great.
It would be great, because when you get into the deep financial worlds of business and business plans, it gets to be a little bit of a struggle trying to explain to your kids, and your experience would be very helpful. And not only just the government role, but the business background would be helpful.
Right. So yeah, that'd be great. I'd love it. I was a local business. It's still alive today.
Yep.
When I sold it, I put them on a 2-year probation thing because I didn't want it back, type of a deal. But they passed that test, so we're moving forward with that too. So that's good to know.
Yep. And then one last thing is that I have now branched out to FBLA and JCF too. It's in 5 high schools, so it is growing. And so we've added New Hope, Illinois Valley, North Valley, Ranch Pass has it, and it's just continued to grow. So we're going to help kids in every school. So it's important to know that
good.
This is not just in Valley. It's what we call it home. It's where it starts, where it's located at, but it's also in other schools. So we're going to have you guys get involved in all that as well.
Super. We welcome.
We thank you guys for your time, and we're going to go ahead and go back
to your day job.
To our day jobs. Thank you so much, and thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Do we wait for Sean, or do we go on without her? Okay, so we have one more proclamation, Mr. Dion.
Yes. In the matter of proclaiming the month of March 2017 as Oregon Problem Gambling Awareness Month, whereas on behalf of the citizens of Josephine County, we are pleased to join the State of Oregon, the National Council on Problem Gambling, and the Association of Problem Gambling Service Administrators in celebrating the month of March as National Problem Gambling Awareness Month in Josephine County. And whereas problem gambling is a significant public health problem that affects thousands of Oregonians of all ages and backgrounds in all communities, and which has significant personal, social, health, and financial costs. And whereas Josephine County, along with the state, is dedicated to reduce the negative effects of gambling for all citizens through its nationally awarded program, Gambling Services System of Prevention, Outreach, and Treatment for Citizens in the County. And whereas thousands of Oregonians have successfully sought treatment, are in recovery along with their families, and have benefited from the expertise of professionals in the treatment field who have dedicated their lives to helping people recover from problem gambling. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Josephine County Board of County Commissioners does hereby proclaim the month of March 2017 as Problem Gambling Awareness Month in Josephine County. As the Board of County Commissioners, we also call upon citizens, government agencies, public and private institutions, businesses, and schools in Josephine County to recommit to the county's vision of increasing awareness and understanding of problem or pathological gambling and join us in this observance. So by the Josephine County Board of County Commissioners.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I do that now.
We have options of Southern Oregon here. Jane Mary Lane, if you'd like to come up. It's pretty amazing when we have community partners that do such a wonderful job and provide gambling treatment services for us. So, oh, Dan's coming around for you.
Run this program for about 20 years now and serve the residents of Josephine County. And we're really proud of not only Josephine County, but Oregon, because we are leaders in the nation and in some ways in the world as far as setting standards of treatment and care and modeling that for the rest of the world. And I don't know if you guys know that, but other countries have actually come to Oregon to see how we have our treatment and prevention set up so they can go back and apply that to their countries. So we are, like I said, we're very proud, we're privileged, and thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. You bet. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for both for what you do in our community. Appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate your support.
Next, we have requests and comments from citizens. Would anybody like to speak? Mr. Sullivan?
Good morning, Commissioners. Mark Sullivan, Selma, Oregon. Let me start on a positive note. I appreciate the fact that our two new county commissioners are kinder and more respectful of the opposition to your policies than the previous two commissioners who you replaced. Nevertheless, there is opposition. I was brought up in New York City, and my dad imposed upon me, Mark, always tell the truth. The truth will set you free. Well, you've been kinder. You've been more respectful up until last week. I was accused by two county commissioners last week, not Commissioner DeYoung, of being misleading and untruthful. I wasn't going to come in here today, but I have to defend my honor. Commissioner Morgan, I have never been untruthful about your positions on the issues. The one in case here is regarding your position on tax levies. During the campaign, you did say you'd abide by the voters' wishes. You're not doing that. You said you changed your mind, so you're making my point for me.
I'll say that.
That's what you said. Changing your mind, to me, is not sufficient. We all knew in this campaign what the financial status of Josephine County, we knew it back in August. So to change your mind, that's just quite convenient. The promise to the voters is paramount more than anything else. I also said, as city councilors, Commissioner Morgan and DeYoung was for every property tax levy, whether it be city or county. I was not untruthful about that. Commissioner Hare said I was misleading regarding SRS payments. Not one word has been mentioned about the letter that 76 legislators sent to the federal government. It's curious, is a tax levy coming down on us, perhaps? And no mention to the public about this SRS payments letter. Commissioner Hare said I was misleading because I said, he said in the past, we don't need this, we don't want it. Well, I'll tell you something right now. He's not here today, but I'm gonna say this anyway. I will hold my integrity up against Simon Hare any day of the week. I have had no ethics violations. I've had no drunk driving. I haven't demeaned the office of county commissioner. So for him to say I'm misleading is a gross wrong. The SRS payments, Greg Walden has not supported it this time. This is valuable information that county commissioners and the media should not withhold from the public. Simply to have a tax levy passed, this is something that is not dead. This is what we found out 2 weeks ago. So again, you are kind and more respectful, and thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Judy Aaron, residents of Benton County. And I too would like to just talk just a couple of thoughts regarding the May levy tax. I just remember a few comments that were made a few weeks back from when it was that I was baffled by. I remember hearing one or two commissioners say that reason, even though we had that meeting in that conference room and all the people that showed big concern, and they were pretty articulate, reason we're putting the levy tax on the ballot is to let the people decide. Now, here's where I'm baffled and here's where I'm confused. And I know you guys are sharp people. It seems like the people have made a point. 6, 7, 8, 9 times they have shared no, 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 no. And these are people don't have funding, they don't belong to groups that have tons of money and all the radio announcements and all that stuff. They just said, our pockets are empty. Please, please represent us. So anyway, I was baffled by that when the people have spoken many a time. Also, I want to share with you what I've been hearing with people around my community. They have been saying, it's really not a safety issue, even though we have crime issues, I understand. They say it's not that. If we really examine our budget and everything, it's a purse issue. They say they would love to see, you know, the finances of what people work and the days are off and all their holidays compared to the average person who has a double job, who works so many days that you and I we all benefit from, including government workers. What we really need to get to, and I really feel sincere about this because I went to a class on the principles of personal defense. I highly recommend that because over the past few years, I've been saying, we need to have a town hall meeting on how we can cut down crime. We need to be able to cut down crime and the juveniles and parents aren't home and it's not them. But how are the parents even raising their kids? Like they say in the public schools, got a problem with Johnny, but what's happening at home? So this book tells us how we can't be a victim. And I think when we get into that victimized mode, that we need more police, we need more deputies and everything, why don't we just look outside the box? And outside the box is to promote people not being victims. How can we scare the criminals who say, you approach me, God help you, God help you. Because I will be prepared in karate or things or the things that we're allowed to have in this community. You know, not in California, we're allowed to have guns and carry guns and all of the above. We have to make criminals scared of us. So they go elsewhere, they go to Medford. I don't care where they go. But the average citizen, if we get the word out in the street, then the criminals and the crime would go down. Now, will that help them fund the purse? I don't think so, but it's just a start on where we stand as citizens. Thank you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grandstand. I heard on your talk show yesterday on Cajo that the ISF fund is not going to be attached to this new levy. Is that correct? I think that's a good idea. I felt that when the levy was passed, the three-year levy was passed for the animal shelter, that those funds are specifically for a short duration time and should not be, money should be taken out from the ISF. And I feel that way about the levy you're proposing this time also. And I think that would be a great thing to let people know that we're not going to earlier and earlier when they commit egregious crimes, because we want to cut down the amount of money the state's spending. That's not a good idea. Some of these people need to be locked up for long periods of time. I think there's other things we can do on cyber crime, but I think we need to reenact the death penalty. We're going to make it work. Don't let them sit on death row for 30 or 40 years. And it just doesn't work. We have to prove to the criminal element that's in our communities that it will not be tolerated and will be dealt with harshly. So I think funding the jail will be something that I think we should do. It's not really, a lot of money you guys talked about yesterday with the idea that the funding for the jail, that 20-year levy will be up in, I believe it's September, if not November. So, that's a little bit coming off our bill, and we can put it right back into the sheriff's department to have deputies on the road. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Any response?
Yes, I'd like to respond. Judy just walked out, on her cut down on crime and whatnot. And that book is probably good reading for just about anybody. Kind of like what you can and can't do personally. But that's hard to advertise. I guess you wear a sign or put a sign on the front of your house. I have a gun and I'm not afraid to use it or something. I don't know. I realize we can probably scare. But there's the levy that we're proposing that is on the ballot. It really doesn't have anything to do with a policeman on every corner. It has to do with the jail. It has to do with the jail, as Mr. Ford was saying. In answer to your ISF question, if I can indulge, the ISF sticks with all forms, all departments of government. It's the Internal Service Fund, and I think you know what the Internal Service Fund does. It will be on there. The ISF still will come out of that. But what we were talking about in reference to the ISF is the Board of County Commissioners. Our salaries in our department was in that ISF, which was spread evenly amongst all the departments. We're going to pull that out. We're going to fund that a different way. So it'll drop the ISF. We're thinking somewhere into, instead of 10% across the board, it'll only be 8% across the board. So basically that'll help, all the other, all the departments are going to get a little bump from that. So the ISF does stay concurrent. It'll be concurrent across everything. And I don't know if it's on the animal shelter. I think it's stated in there that it goes strictly to the animal shelter. But I don't know if the animal shelter pays an ISF fee or not.
They're a part of public health, so it's out of public health's entire budget that the ISF is paid.
Yeah.
And so it's not 10% of the levy amount. They have a budget. The ISF has a budget. It's about $3 million to fund all the services and departments that apply to the whole county. And then that amount is divided by all the departments countywide. It will never exceed 10%. It can go less. And every year they look at that fee. And the jail still needs legal support. It still needs human resources for hiring. It still needs finance for paying bills and paychecks. And it still needs information technologies for their computers. So those services are still there. What we're doing is removing the Board of County Commissioners out of the Internal Service Fund and just putting it in the general fund so that it's not a penny of it will go to the BCC. We also, because of that, lose the contributions of all the other departments that are contributing towards the BCC. But it's important that this levy isn't going to the BCC in any way.
Yeah, the statement was made that the reason that county commissioners are putting this on the ballot is to pad their own pockets. And it was, you're in the ISF, your salary's in the ISF, so you're going to get more money, so therefore you can have more money as county commissioners. And that nothing can be further from the truth. So in order to we'll just take that clear out of it. We just took our salaries out of the ISF, so we're not included in that. So there's no chance that we're going to pad our pockets out of any kind of levy that comes down, no matter what it's for, or any pay or any raise in services, whether it be planning, building permits, or whatever. The Board of County Commissioners is out of it. So, that was one thing. And Mr. Seligman, it wasn't Commissioner Morgan that changed her mind. It was me. And I'm not changing my mind. It's part of the freedoms of America. And one of the things you said that, don't you listen, and I think Ms. Aaron said the same thing, don't you listen? Well, guess what? I listened to more than one answer over and over and over again. And as far as I'm concerned, we're going to put a different product out there in front of the voter, and it's up to the voter to say yes or no. You're going to vote no on everything. I get that. I understand that. That's perfectly within your wheelhouse to do that. And it's within your wheelhouse to go out and campaign actively against anything that we've put up here and anything that we stand for. I get all of that. But if you think I can't change my mind and give the reasons why I changed my mind after I got in here and saw exactly when these things that everybody says is going to come to pass, or they're not coming to pass in the next few years, and they can't come to pass in the next few years, and knowing that on June the 30th, this thing, this party's over financially, and yes, you brought up that Greg Walden did not promote secure rural schools. That's a position you might take up with Greg Walden and his staff. It doesn't have anything to do with the Board of County Commissioners. That's Mr. Walden's office, not ours. So when we want to change, if I want to change my mind, you're going to see me change my mind an awful lot in the next 4 years, because you know what, as the information comes in, I process that and then react on it. So, you know, if you want to call me a liar, go right ahead. I'm golden with that. I don't consider it a lie when I look at different facts and I change my mind. If I told you I was going to paint my car burgundy and then I changed my mind to blue and you call me a liar, I don't think that's worthy of you saying that. But you can go ahead and say whatever you want, Mr. Seligman. I'm okay with that. As far as Judy goes, I understand what she's saying on personal protection. I think it's a great idea, because there's probably a lot in that book that we could use as regular citizens. But to get 83,000 people to read that book and then act on it all at once, I think it's a good start. I think there's a lot of information out there that's very helpful to personal people in personal protection. But then personal protection has to go somewhere. So you've got this guy on the ground, and you've got your handgun, and you've got him, and you call the police and say, I've got this guy, he broke into my house, home invasion. And they say, well, we can come out and talk to him, I guess, but we don't have a jail to put him in. This levy is pointed directly at the jail to provide a place to put all these people that we know we have living amongst us, to where we can check them out. A lot of those people end up with warrants from different places because they moved here because we're an easy mark. And they find out that once they're in our jail system that we do their background check and send them away. We call in those warrants from other jurisdictions and they're gone. So there's an awful lot to this thing. There really isn't a whole bunch to this levy. It's pretty straightforward and pretty, in fact, Commissioner Morgan and I, yesterday at our public meeting, our open meeting, we brainstormed a fact sheet. And it will be the facts. It won't be hearsay. It is going to be the facts. And that fact sheet will be available for distribution to any group or organization you belong to. You can take a handful of them and pass them out. Guaranteed, they will be the facts. And if you want proof of the facts, that's fine. And Mr. Seligman will probably pick it apart, as he does just about everything, to promote his agenda. But this will be the facts, and you can live by those. And plus, Commissioner Morgan and I have both extended an invitation to just about any group that wants us to talk in front of them. We'll be glad to come out and talk. So that's where we're at, and we'll go from there.
There's been some comments lately about other representatives, Mr. Walden having some things to say. Last week it was Mr. Wilson. I've been in touch with both Mr. Walden's staff and Mr. Wilson's staff. I've talked to Mr. Wilson directly. If they have a stand on a situation, I'm going to receive that directly from them. And hearsay from somebody else on what their opinion or status is not my source of information. I have directly talked with two of Mr. Walden's staff about getting access to our natural resources, how we need to have the finances that our natural resources here in Josephine County could provide, that we need access to our public lands without it being just fenced off for nobody to access and utilize. So I've had conversations with his staff about how the natural resources in our community could be and should be the financial source of our stability. As far as Mr. Wilson goes, like I said, I am in frequent contact with his office, and will receive information directly from them. I didn't flat out, Mr. Seligman, call you a liar. What I said is that your truth is different than the truth that I see. And the reason is here's what I was taught when I was a kid. If someone tells a bald-faced lie, it's usually easy to tell. Where somebody usually can be deceived is when a slight change and a slight variation is similar to the truth, and that's why it appears to be the truth. What I have found is that there's little one word leave out, one word change, one word this to believe the truth that you believe, but it's not the actual truth. When I was asked, do you intend to put a levy on the ballot? That answer was no, and full-heartedly believed it not to be. I did not lie. My intent was not to put a levy on the ballot. And when the statement was last week, I supported every tax. You didn't say every property tax. You said every tax. There was a sales tax I vehemently opposed. It's one of those things that if quoted, and for instance, Mr. DeYoung was correct. It wasn't me who said I changed my mind. It was him that said that. So again, quoting and giving credit to someone that wasn't the right person. That's what I'm talking about saying the truth is not the exact truth, that it's a little change and a little subtlety. And so I was trying to be very respectful and say, if you want to believe that to be case, that's your truth for you. It's not the truth as I see it, because it's not exactly as it happened. And I appreciate your concern and your diligence, and I'm going to welcome you here every week. And I'm going to welcome your feedback and your opinions and the position that you stand, and I will defend your right to do that wholeheartedly. It doesn't mean I have to agree with you, and it doesn't mean that the public has to agree with you. It does mean that you have a right to speak here. But if you say something that's not accurate, it's fair for me to respond and say that wasn't accurate. As far as the ISF, again, if there is another way of providing the services to the whole county that are mutual, right now we're able to do, like, I'll take information technologies. We have 6 or 7 employees in that department that serve the whole county. And I can tell you that each department has their own software systems, their own systems that work internally as well as externally. In community corrections, we had to make our system be able to work with a state system, but we also had internal systems that worked independently. Then we had a separate system. I mean, we have all these different software programs, and each department has their own issues. And instead of each department having to hire their own technology person, which would mean we'd have more, we're able to get it done with about 6 or 7 people that are servicing the whole county. So right now we're sharing that obligation between the whole county and doing it more efficiently. But I would be open to hearing if there's a way to provide those services more efficiently. I'd be absolutely, if there's a recommendation, I'd be open to hearing that. And I don't think anything's off the table for seeing how our county can provide effective, efficient service and get that done. So I welcome that opportunity. So those were the only comments that I had to reply to the citizens. Next, we have the consent calendar.
I'd like one more comment on Ms. Aarons said that we were not listening to the people. You're not listening to us when you put another levy back on the ballot because we have spoken. What about the people that voted yes on the levy? We just not listen to them either. They said that they wanted something. They said they wanted some sort of improvement in law enforcement, criminal justice, public safety, whatever you want to call it. Do we just completely ignore them because a levy got voted down 6 times in a row? And I say it's probably not all no to no, 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 no across the board, because I find that speaking for somebody else, because there's a lot of people out there that might just say, you know, not necessarily this tax, but I would like to see a different product. So this product that we're putting up again is completely different from anything that's been done before. It's by name only, it's a tax levy. Yes, by name only, it's going to public safety, criminal justice, whatever. This one is right towards the jail. We are pinpointing what people have wanted. We are listening to what people want. They want that jail, and it's used across the board through our whole law enforcement community. So when you say we're not representing, we're not listening to us, you're not representing us, I realize that us, you includes everybody in the room, not just one side or the other. So we have a huge public outcry to do something, and just because we've had, what, 5 levies in a row that were no, that doesn't mean we can't bring it up 10. that we're no. That doesn't mean that we don't have a product out there with a little different wrinkle on it. Might move that needle to the yes. So what happens when it's yes? Do the no people say you didn't listen to us again? So I'm just kind of wondering. We just want to make sure that we are representing everybody in the room at the same time.
Well,
that's where I'll go from there.
You reminded me, as far as the book, self-defense, I think everybody should be aware of your surroundings. Everybody should do everything they can for personal defense that they can within reason. But not everybody can. And the other piece of it is, our person-to-person crimes, they get a response. It may be not happen in a timely manner, but the property crimes are the ones that self-defense don't help. Cave Junction, CJ Coffee got broke into yesterday again. The window's broken out, and it's like the third time in a couple months. At some point, that business is going to have to say, I can't afford to keep my doors open because I can't afford the cost of repairing my windows and doors and the inventory I'll lose and the damages over and over and the lost customers and the revenue from people coming in because my doors are shut. Personal defense doesn't protect your window getting broke when you're not at your business. And it's great that, you know, I'd love everybody to put a sign up that says, I have a gun, and before coming to the house. Maybe it'll attract, you know, people have beware of dog, or forget the dog, I have a Smith & Wesson. You know, whatever it is, people have a right to do that. But there's also a right to say that if you need help, you have someone to be there if you don't want to do that. So anyhow, I'm all for people having training, being able to protect themselves, but there's other things going on in our community that don't protect from that. Okay, so moving on to the consent calendar, our items today are minutes from several board meetings, a weekly business session, December 14th, February 15th, a county admin workshop, February 15th, another weekly business session, February 22nd, and a general discussion. And I would welcome a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent calendar, items 4A.
And I will second that. And roll call.
Commissioner Dion?
Yes.
And Commissioner Morgan?
Yes. Motion carries. The next item is other. We don't have anything listed in matters for the commissioners.
I think we're okay.
Okay.
Well, I might mention, you know, our fact sheet again. I think you and I need to re-get on that ASAP.
So I had several appointments on my calendar this afternoon that I have asked to be rescheduled so that I can put that out, and it's going to be emailed to legal, and it will be available hopefully at the meeting on Thursday. It will be on the agenda for Thursday. So then we can edit and kind of go from there to see if there's any other changes. Essentially, the format is simply, here's our current funding and what it's covering. In July 1st, without a levy, this is what we have. And with a levy, this is what it will be. It's just going to be pretty much straight numbers and sources as far as where those numbers are coming from. And so people have questions about what the services are now, what the services will be, what the service will be with a levy. And that's basically the format that we're looking at that will be available Thursday, hopefully, or edited Thursday for approval. Okay, seeing nothing else, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. It is 9:38. Nope, 9:39.